Some of them disbelieve in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. This last class of men take to the shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. One has to get rid of all three stages of attachment to the material world: negligence of spiritual life, fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these three stages of the material concept of life, one has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and follow the disciplines and regulated principles of devotional life. The last stage of the devotional life is called Bhava, or transcendental love of Godhead. According to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service: Adosha dhatata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato narta nivritti syat tato nishtha luchistata ata saktistato bhavas tataf prema bhyudanchati sadhakanam ayam premna pradur bhavi bhavet kramaha. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness in self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, by the slow process of devotional service, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all material attachment, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from the frustrations that result in void philosophy. Then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Bita raga bhaya krodha manmaya namupashutaha bhavo jnana tapasa putamad bhavamagataha. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me, Krishna says. In this verse, Krishna mentions some qualifications required for coming to him. One should be free from attachment, fear, and anger. One should take shelter of Krishna in knowledge and renunciation, jnana tapasa. It's also described about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu: vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. That Chaitanya, shikshatam eka purusha parana, Shri Krishna Chaitanya sharira dhari kripam bodhi yastam aham prapadye. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach devotional service, which is characterized by knowledge and renunciation. Being an ocean of mercy, he has appeared in the Kali Yuga to teach these principles. So, Krishna says that many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they came to me, being freed from attachment, fear, and anger. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada analyzes how different persons, due to attachment, fear or anger reject devotional service, and how one should not be misguided or self-deluded by fear, attachment, fear or anger, and rather accept the authorized process of devotional service, which is summarized, Srila Prabhupada has quoted from Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, how one should accept the authorized process of devotional service, and with faith go forward to attain the goal, which is prema or love of Krishna. So, faith, that is the basic principle for taking up devotional service. Shraddhavan jan hoy bhakti adhikari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one who has faith is an eligible candidate for taking up devotional service. So one who is too much attached to material sense enjoyment cannot have such faith. The faith in devotional service means the faith in the transcendental principle, that beyond this material existence there is transcendental reality. But if we're attached to material sense enjoyment, then we think of it as we think this is reality. Sense enjoyment appears like reality to those who do not have transcendental knowledge. So Vita Raga, one who is afraid, someone has come, attempted to take up spiritual life, but has been cheated by persons who purport to be spiritual teachers, so he becomes disgusted. Oh, this is described here as anger. He becomes angry. I don't believe, what is this religion? It's all cheating. Or fear that one is afraid, that he sees that relationships in this material world are simply a cause of suffering. So therefore, he takes to spiritual life, but with an impersonal conception. He's afraid to enter into a personal relationship in spiritual existence, having seen that relationships in material existence are a cause of suffering, and therefore he extrapolates this fear of personal relationship into spiritual existence, and thinks that there cannot be spiritual personality. He's afraid of accepting that principle. So with faith in the goodness, in the benevolence of Krishna, one should overcome this such attachment, fear and anger, and follow the authorized process. Ado Shadha. The authorized process begins with faith. The faith that there is something better than this material enjoyment. There is a personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme loving, kind person, despite all our bad experiences in this material world. And faith that even though there may be so many cheaters in this world who are misrepresenting the path of religion, misrepresenting God, still there must be some person who can properly teach us. There must be, because God has been misrepresented, doesn't mean that we should give up on God. So one has to become free from attachment, fear and anger, and then he can come to the platform of faith, initial faith, ado, shadha, tata, sadhu, sangha, by which one will want to associate with devotees and under their guidance take to the process, bhajana, kriya, by which anartha, the unwanted things within the heart, contaminations within the heart will be cleared. And when these contaminations within the heart are cleared, then one can advance further. Tato nishta ruchis tata anasaktis tato bhava tata prema abhyudanchati. Then one can proceed onwards with steady faith and taste and attachment, atasaktis, attachment to Krishna consciousness. Then one's ecstatic feelings arise, and then pure devotional service, pure love for Krishna. So, Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is teaching, is not only taught to Arjuna, and it's not some theoretical, philosophical discussion. It applies in practical life, as we say. We think this world we're living in is some kind of reality, so it applies in practical life. And we can see in the present Krishna conscious moon, it is quite prominent, how many persons have taken to Krishna consciousness seriously, but then backed off. Or they've taken to Krishna consciousness, but they don't fully commit themselves due to attachment, fear, or anger. The same principles are at work. They may not fully reject Krishna consciousness, but they, at the same time, they don't fully accept the process due to attachment, fear, or anger. Attachment, that they don't want to follow the process of Krishna consciousness very strictly, because attached to material sense enjoyment. To follow the process of Krishna consciousness means to follow the principles outlined in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There are so many rules and regulations there. So actually to take to devotional service means to take to it strictly. There isn't really Krishna consciousness, there isn't really the process of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't happen if we don't follow the rules and regulations given by Srila Rupa Goswami. And that especially those who are initiated, bhajana kriya. This bhajana kriya, this means that ādo gurvāśrayam, Krishna diksha anushikshanam, viśrambhena guru seva. The process of bhajana kriya or sadhana bhakti is described by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. There is a specific process. It begins with taking shelter of a spiritual master, then taking initiation from him, taking instruction from him, and serving him with reverence and affection. And then so many rules and regulations are given. Prabhupada has subtitled his summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as the nectar of devotion, the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. So it's a science. So many rules, rules and regulations and guidelines are given. Guidelines such as asat sanga tyag, to give up the association of non-devotees. Because association with devotees is favorable for advancement in devotional service, and association with non-devotees is not. So these rules and regulations are not arbitrarily given by Rupa Goswami. He is a great acharya. He is realized, fully realized in the process of devotional service, was fully empowered by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to present the process of devotional service in a manner that will benefit the jivas so that they may come to Krishna. At the moment, we are in the conditioned state. We are separated from Krishna by our own ignorance, by our own attachment, fear, and anger. Therefore, we are not with Krishna. Therefore, we are suffering in this material world due to not being Krishna conscious. So Rupa Goswami has given the process by which we can come to Krishna. We often nowadays hear about bridge preaching. We make a bridge between conditioned life and Krishna consciousness. But actually, Rupa Goswami has already given the bridge. It's called the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, by which persons who are in the conditioned state can come to the transcendental state by following the rules and regulations of devotional service. This is the bridge. It's actually referred to like that in Shastra. Even Krishna himself, one of the names given for him If you don't mind me correcting you again, please don't lean on Bhagavad Gita. It's worshipable. So, Dharma Setu. Krishna is the bridge, which is Dharma. Dharma, because this is a very broad term, but Dharma in its fullest sense is understood as service to Krishna. And Dharma, as given by Krishna in this material world, is the process by which we can come to Him. So these rules and regulations are given, and it's a science, so if we follow, we'll get the result, and if we don't follow, we won't get the result. It's a scientific process, just like if we base some basic scientific principle. If acid is mixed with alkaline, then there'll be a reaction, and salt and water will be produced. It's predictable. So, similarly, if one follows the rules and regulations of devotional service without making offenses, which is also one of the rules, then it is predictable that one will advance on this path. Bhajana Kriya will lead to anartha nivritti, and then nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhav, and praying will follow. Sada kanam ayam premna pradur bhave bhavetkrama. These are the stages. They will follow one after the other. Bhajana kriya, engagement in devotional service, will lead to purification of the heart, anartha nivritti. Steadiness in devotional service, nishta, ruchi, taste, asakti, attachment to the process of devotional service, bhava, preliminary transcendental emotion, and prem, pure love of Krishna. So it's predictable within the rules and regulations of devotional service. There are do's and do nots. Vidhi, this should be done. Nishedh, this should not be done. So if we follow the things that should be done, the result will be that we will advance in Krishna consciousness. And nishedh, if we fail to follow those things that are forbidden, then the result will be that the Krishna consciousness will not develop. So these rules and regulations are given, and if we follow them, then the result will be we will advance in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we may say that it's not simply a mechanical process, that love is required, but this is the bridge. We don't have love, or our love for Krishna is dormant. So these rules and regulations, they help us to revive our Krishna consciousness. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shardha Kabunoi Shavanadi Shuddha Chite Kareye Udoy Udoy. This love for Krishna is an eternal principle of the soul, but that is presently covered, but that can be revived by the process of Shravanadi, Krishna consciousness beginning with hearing about Krishna. So the very process itself serves to revive our dormant love for Krishna. Now, we may not follow that process for various reasons, or we may not follow it very strictly due to attachment. We may think that, well, I like sense gratification. So, I also like Krishna consciousness. I like to sing and dance. I like that food. But all these other rules, like strictly following regulated principles and chanting rounds, I don't like that. So, due to attachment to sense gratification, one doesn't properly take to Krishna consciousness. This is the Ardha Kukuti Nyay, or the logic of half a chicken. Someone who has a chicken, they keep chickens for, mostly they take for getting eggs to eat. Just for your information, because you're all pure souls, you don't eat eggs. So, someone may think that every day I'm getting an egg from the backside of the chicken, but I have to put food in the front side, which costs money. So I like the backside of the chicken, but not the front side. So very intelligently, we will cut off the front side and only keep the backside. Then I'll get eggs, but I won't have to feed. But it doesn't work. Then no chicken. So you may think that, well, I like this part of Krishna consciousness, but I don't like that part. So I'll take the parts that I like and leave out the parts that I don't like. But the result is no result. We don't get the result of Krishna consciousness. You have to follow the whole process. That is called surrender. Surrender means, that's preliminary surrender, is it? To follow the rules and regulations as given. The process of surrender is given, one is supposed to submit to the discipline, not just for the sake of it. It's not just for the sake. Just like in the army, they may give you discipline. They may say, well, it's good for you, just for the sake of it. So, discipline is good, but not simply, there must be some purpose. In the army, the idea of discipline is good for you, so that when you're in the battle and the commander says, march forward, and you have to march into machine gun fire, you take the discipline as a purpose, because the idea is to win the battle. So one has to be prepared to take the discipline, which means some sacrifice, maybe sacrifice of one's own interest. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, the discipline and the sacrifice all for one's own self-interest. The soldiers who are in Iraq, they might be wondering, of course they're not supposed to think, but they might be wondering that, what are we doing here? What's the purpose? How is it, we want to fight for America, but how is America being benefited by fighting with some Arabs in a long distant land from America? But in Krishna consciousness, one is supposed to take to the discipline, but not with a blank head, not just like a robot, but understanding that this discipline is good for me. It serves my actual self-interest. Because by accepting this, then I can become purified. I may not like to rise early in the morning. I might think, well, I'd be happier sleeping in the bed. It's nice here. But it doesn't lead to spiritual advancement. Or we might think that, well, I like to eat so many different kinds of food. You might think, well, why only take Krishna prasada? So you may think that, all right, let me eat what I like. But that will not help us to control our tongues. And that will not satisfy Krishna. Because that's one of the items of surrender to Krishna, that we should only take that which is offered to Him. So we may think that I like to do this and I like to do that, but if we do like that, then we won't advance in Krishna consciousness. So to remain on the platform of material attachment and at the same time try to be Krishna conscious, it doesn't work, because it's like another example, you're trying to build up the fire, so from one side you pour in kerosene, and on the other side, from the other hand, you pour water. So the result will be a lot of smoke. You won't get a blazing fire. Whatever effort is being made on one side is being cancelled out on the other. So if one is cultivating material attachment, then can't properly advance in Krishna consciousness. Similarly, if one is fearful or angry, that due to fear, that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has explained how people go away from Krishna consciousness due to fear, they become impersonalist, they're afraid of a personal God. But this fear may manifest in other ways. For instance, one may see that devotees, they take to devotional service, and then some of them fall away. So you may be afraid that, well, if they couldn't do it, how can I do it? Someone, they may have had so much association with Prabhupada, and they may have been following very strictly for so many years. So if they can't do it, then still they fell away. So if they can't do it, then what hope is there for me? And due to fear or disappointment, we rationalize that it's probably better not even to try. Better be realistic and just practice Krishna consciousness in a very mild way. But the problem with this is that you don't make any advancement. You can't get the result, because that some people have not been successful in their execution of devotional service doesn't mean that the process doesn't work. In fact, that some devotees, even after apparently attaining some high levels, have again come down again. This doesn't demonstrate that Krishna consciousness doesn't work. It actually demonstrates how Krishna consciousness does work. Now, that may seem like a strange conclusion, but I'll explain it. Because as long as they were following strictly, they were making advancement. But as soon as they stopped, as soon as they started, their fall down didn't just come that they got zapped from, they got zapped by a laser beam from a stray UFO or something, and all of a sudden their mind changed. They got their brain waves reconfabulated by a being zapped from a UFO. It didn't just happen by chance. But rather, if we see any devotee falls away from the process, generally we'll find that they haven't been practicing strictly for some time. Maybe secretly they've been, it could be all kinds of things, going to websites that they shouldn't be going to, or associating with non-devotees, not following, maybe just not following the process very strictly, failing to follow the required sadhana, or reading and becoming absorbed in literature, which, karmic literature, instead of reading transcendental literature, reading books and becoming influenced by the mundane way of thinking, there may be so many causes, becoming complacent, that yes, now I'm a senior devotee, so it doesn't matter. I can associate with members of the opposite sex very intimately, and we're all devotees, so it's all not being careful. There's some cause. So this shows actually how Krishna consciousness works, because if we don't follow it properly, then the result is that we fall away. So we may become afraid that, well, if others can't succeed, how can I succeed? But here Krishna says, many persons in the past became purified by following the process strictly, by jnana, by cultivating knowledge of me. That means they go on studying Bhagavad Gita as it is. They go on studying Shastra. They don't think that now I know everything. They go on hearing and chanting about Krishna, and tapasa, strictly following all the regulations of devotional life. Then the result, putam madbhavam agata, they become purified. So it's many persons in the past have become purified, and many persons at the present and many persons in the future will be purified by following the process. And that someone falls away doesn't mean that the whole process is negated. Rather, it should serve as a warning to us how we should follow it more strictly. Be careful and don't think that, well, nowadays all the devotees are eating kami food, so I should also. But then you have to see, what result are they getting? Of course, not all are eating kami food, but it may be that many are. Just to give an example, so I'm told. I'm not going around snooping on devotees' eating habits, but I've been told like this, that many devotees are going to rock concerts or watching movies. So then how can you be a devotee? A devotee means he's dedicated to Krishna. His life, machita madgata prana bodhyanta paraspara katiyantascha manitam tushanti ma tushanti charamanti cha. Devotees are always taking pleasure in engaging in the activities of devotional service. Their lives are dedicated to Krishna. They take pleasure in chanting and discussing among each other and the glories of Krishna. So this fear that I may also fall into that situation, well, don't. You may see others are doing, but we should know that this is not Krishna consciousness. Even if one comes in and cooks an offering for the deity, and then in the day and in the evening goes to the movie and say, well, they're doing devotional service. But is that devotional service? Will Krishna accept? Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparita ashnami parita. If one offers me with love and devotion, leaf, flower, fruit and water, I will accept it. If it is offered with bhakti, that means one should follow the process of bhakti yoga. If one is not following the process of bhakti yoga, will Krishna accept? Krishna is not obliged to accept. Isn't it just, you shove a plate before him and say, eat it. Eat it quick because I'm hungry and I have to eat the maha. So Krishna is not an offering machine that we can just chuck something in front of him and hurry up with the offering. I want to eat quick because I'm off to the movies. So then how can we explain that? Where is the advancement? Where is the bhakti? So then again, this attachment, being attached to sense gratification, one cannot satisfy Krishna. Kam krodh lobh moha mada di abhishta isha na chere kise pabe radha Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the rhetorical question: as long as we are absorbed in material desire, anger, greed, lust, envy, illusion, all these non-devotional qualities, then where is the question of us attaining Radha and Krishna? There's no question. It's not possible. So, rather than looking at those who have compromised and fearing that, and they may say, well, there's no use being strict. You won't be able to maintain it. Be realistic. But why not? We can be strict if we have the internal conviction that human life is meant for God realization. It's not meant for sense gratification. We maintain that conviction, and then we'll know that we have to practice Krishna consciousness properly. And we won't be... actually, we should be afraid of falling away. That we should fear Maya. But that doesn't... Fear Maya means we should strictly follow the process of Krishna consciousness so we don't become eaten up by Maya. And pray to Guru and Krishna for strength to follow the process. And be afraid, yes. If we're to be afraid, that should not be fear of surrendering to Krishna. We should have confidence that Krishna is our well-wisher and that if we sincerely try to serve Him, He will help us. But rather our fear should be of Maya. And our attachment is also good, but that not attachment for sense gratification, attachment for serving Krishna, attachment for Krishna consciousness. So that attachment we want. And fear means fear of Maya. That someone may say, yes, well, we're also going to movies and this and that, but we're also Krishna consciousness. We say, well, you may be very advanced, but I'm afraid. I'm not so advanced. I'm afraid. If I go to the movies, I'm not able to sit for 2 hours and watch a movie and think of Krishna. So I'm afraid. Even a moment without thinking of Krishna is a tragedy. Why do you have to go to the movie to see a tragedy? Mm-hmm. Even without thinking of Krishna, every moment is a disaster. Worse disaster. And they're afraid of terrorism. They're afraid of planes being blown up. And they're afraid of bombs being placed in buildings. They're afraid of such disasters. But worst disaster is not being Krishna conscious. You get your body blown to pieces, you get another one. But that will happen anyway if we're not Krishna conscious. So the real disaster is not thinking of Krishna. So vitaraga bhaya, krodha, anger. You may become angry. You may say that, well, you know, this one fell down and that one fell down, so it's all useless. They're all bogus. But this isn't very intelligent, as Prabhupada said, that one has been cheated doesn't mean that everyone's a cheater. There must be someone who's serious. There must be someone who's blown the plan. So this anger and trying to say that, well, every devotee is completely bogus, therefore we reject all the devotees and we'll practice Krishna consciousness in our own way. We'll invent some new way to go to Krishna. So this is also maintaining anger that to all the devotees in ISKCON are complete. They're all bogus. We may think that because this one fell, that one fell, so there's anger. But maintaining this anger, Krishna will not be pleased. Rather, we should have the intelligence to find that good association wherever it is present and take that and advance in the path of devotional service. We can't invent another path. There is one path, that is the Rupanoga path, the path given by the followers of Rupa Goswami. Given by Rupa Goswami, those who follow him, they follow the path. It works. We should have this faith that Krishna consciousness works. It will be. If we follow strictly, we'll get the result. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
The standard that you're presenting here really is for the devotees,
those who are committed.
The monks. What about the congregation?
Congregation? Well, we don't find in Rupa Goswami's teachings that there's any different process for monks and non-monks. It's the same process for everyone. The monks, we could say they have the opportunity to, they have a better opportunity to follow it, but the process is the same for everyone. And the result, as much as we follow, we'll get the result. As much as we don't get the result. It's true for everyone. Yes, that's described by Narottam Das. Krodha bhakta dveshi janai. Our anger should be against those who are inimical to devotees.
Very difficult and very rude, and they're supposed to keep a humble attitude, but how does this have to
humility doesn't mean that when someone is grossly inimical, we should just accept them. If one is inimical to the Lord and his devotees, then one should actually get angry. How to apply that in a society which doesn't understand the principle of devotional service, especially when we're trying to distribute books, we have to see them also. But we should have a little spirit, you know. It's not that just, yeah, everything's okay. No, we should have some spirit. And without that spirit, how can you distribute books? Without that feeling that these people are so unfortunate, they're suffering without Krishna consciousness. You'll find all the... I heard that you have the good fortune of having Vijay Prabhu here recently, and Vaisheshika Prabhu. So these are men who've been... And who's Nidra Devi Dasi? Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances. These are devotees who have been going on book distribution literally for decades. Now, how are you going to do that? It means that they have some feeling, they actually have compassion. They've imbibed the mood of Srila Prabhupada and all of the acharyas, the mood of compassion. Otherwise, you can't do it day after day, month after month, year after year. So there should be some feeling that these people are suffering from lack of Krishna consciousness. How can we help them? So it may not be... there may be many inimical people. Maybe. I think not as much as you, as previously. I mean, I know our transcendental godbrother, Pragosh Prabhu, he was a very... was and is a spirited book distributor. He's having a bout of cancer now, but he's still very jolly. So he regularly used to get punched out in the airport. And his policy was just to get up, put his glasses back on, and go back on distributing books. So if we get angry with everyone who's inimical in modern society, then that may, quite likely, that would be detrimental to our purpose of distributing the books. So there's another way also that's also recommended in Shastra, that for the madhyamadhikari or preacher, there is Ishvare adhineshu, balisheshu, trishatsucha, prema maitri kripo peksha, yakaroti samadhyam. A madhyamadhikari is recommended to love the Supreme Lord, make friendship with the devotees, be merciful to the innocent, and avoid the envious. So that's another policy, to avoid the envious. Just try to avoid them. But some spirit should be there. It's not that we should... The anger means that we don't hate the person. But we can become angered at how they are offensive to Krishna and his devotees. How they are spoiling their own opportunity in human life and transporting their buying a ticket to hell. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry with Jagai and Madhai, but on Nityananda Prabhu's intercession, he delivered them. He didn't hate them, but he wanted to stop their grossly offensive activities. I'll repeat the question. For a devotee who has fear of personal relationships, How will practicing sadhana help them to overcome that? Is that the question? Yeah, well, there may be many, especially in the modern age, because so many people in their relationships they've been the love which they tried to place became abused. This word is very common in the modern age. Abuse, child abuse, psychological abuse. If you see a few years ago, I was at Bhaktivedanta Manor. My father was visiting there. My father is Prabhupada. His body's father. So I just idled up to a bull and started petting him as we were going around the ground. He was surprised. Oh, they're so tame. That's the natural condition. They're supposed to be like that. But because they're treated as just objects in dairy farms, most cows, if they're let loose in a field, you can't get close to them. They run away. They're afraid. So naturally, our tendency is to want to be friendly and loving, children especially. But when they approach someone and someone abuses them, then they become afraid of everyone. They become afraid to. So it may be like that. And this in this rough, nasty, so-called civilization, it's like that. There's this one-upmanship we try to. I remember myself in school that you had to act in a certain way, and others were always trying to, make fun of you, like this, and always trying to cut you down, like this, trying to make sure you to be a fool. So you may be afraid of personal relationships. So how can sadhana help? Well, sadhana, that's supposed to be executed in the association of devotees. Nitin? And hopefully devotees are not all suffering from abuse traumas. So some of them, devotees, symptom of advancement, devotion says, is the heart should be soft. So it's like that. We may take cows who have been mistreated, but then if we treat them nicely, gradually they'll respond to that. So we need to find the association of devotees whose hearts are soft. Sometimes even in our society, it happens that devotees are harsh and they may turn people away from Krishna consciousness. So we should seek out the association of loving devotees. Now, loving devotees, what does that mean? You see, on one side we're saying strictly following, and on the other side we're saying devotees should be loving and kind. Now in modern culture, or lack of it, there's the idea that being loving and kind means to just let people do whatever they like. You shouldn't discipline your children. You should just be nice to them. But being nice to them means disciplining them. Because if you don't discipline them, they'll turn out to be louts. They won't have any good qualities. You have to discipline to train them to overcome their lower nature. Otherwise, if you just indulge children, then they'll be like they're completely selfish and simply interested in their own sense gratification, not caring for others. So discipline is necessary to train them. So sometimes it may seem that devotees who are strict and wanting to train others, it may seem that they're very harsh. But we should understand who is actually training us for our they're strict because they want to benefit us. So the devotees love Prabhupada. Shruti Kirti Prabhu said that Prabhupada sometimes yelled at me, and he said it wasn't a very nice experience. It was just like cut through to your heart. But he said, I'd give anything to have that opportunity for Prabhupada to yell at me again. Because it's tough to be disciplined. But if it's done with love, then that will actually that is actually real kindness. That kind of relationship we want with someone who cares for us so much that they're prepared to take the trouble of disciplining us. So this idea that we love our kids by just letting them do whatever they like, that's not love at all. And the children will never love the parents who let them do what they like. I remember in South India there was one Brahmana I was speaking to, Madhva Sampradaya Brahmana, and he was telling me that we went to his home and they did some special puja and they chanted Vishnu Sahasranam. And afterwards I was talking with him after they were chanting so many shlokas for about 2 hours without ever looking at any book and all together. So he told me afterwards, one of these men, he said, I'm so grateful to my father. He used to beat me to force me. I was naughty, I wanted to play. He used to beat me to force me to learn all these mantras. He was appreciative. I also had this experience in Mayapur. I met some devotees who I hadn't seen for several years. And they were so affectionate to me. And I was surprised because when they were new bhaktas when I was young, I was so heavy with them. I was always I didn't beat them, but physically, but I was very strong with them. And then I said, oh, you trained us so nicely. I said, they're actually very, they appreciated that I suppose I must have been doing it, but I was thinking of how to benefit them, and they appreciated that. So we have to find, now it may be also that in the name of being strict, sometimes what's happened in our movement in the past, that sometimes in the name of being strict, devotees have abused their position and been heavy just for the sake of being heavy, just to show their position or something like that. So again, we have to overcome this fear and have faith in the process of devotional service and have faith in devotees and find out those devotees who can actually benefit us by their association. Whether it may seem harsh, just like that prayer is there of Rupa Goswami, that the chatak bird, he won't take water only from the rain cloud. He won't take water from the ground. So he's simply looking up at the cloud. Sometimes the cloud may send a thunderbolt, but still he has no shelter but the cloud. Or the mother may sometimes beat the child, but still the child runs to the mother. You see, there's no other shelter. So we have to find those devotees who we can trust, who can give us shelter and take shelter of them. It may be rough, but we should overcome that fear with the faith that by taking shelter here, all the purposes for which I've come here will be fulfilled. And we can actually develop deep relationships if we're not on the superficial platform, if we're ready actually to do what is required to be Krishna conscious. If we think that I'll only have relationships with people who are superficially nice, it'll then only be superficial. Just like you see the Kamis, they may be superficially nice with each other, but there's nothing there. There's no substance. Howdy, good morning, how are you? So that's nice. That's better than just being grossly nasty to others. But there's no real substance. They don't really care for you. And then you're coming off the plane, they say, well, thank you, have a good day, but We know that they don't give a damn whether you have a good day or not. It just doesn't mean anything to them. They have to put on a show of being nice. But a devotee, he's actually concerned with us. So it's a big topic. Well, another question? Now it's a big topic, but the principle is that we should have faith. We can't advance without the faith that there are devotees who, by entering into relationships with, that relationship will be fulfilling in the fullest sense, fulfilling in the sense that by that satsanga, by that good association, we will attain Krishna. So, another question. Can they actually merge into the existence of God if it's motivated by fear? Well, this merging, it's a state of, it's a long way from the real state of spiritual perfection. This merging takes place. When I say merging into the existence of God, it means at the same time, it means merging into His bodily effulgence, which means denying His personality. So it really is, when we say merging into the existence of God, they don't really accept the concept or the reality of God. So yes, they can merge, but it's not actually a very elevated platform. And it's got really no relationship with Krishna, because they don't want to have a relationship with Him. So they don't get it. It's actually, it's still a contaminated state. Even though they may be free from the direct effect of the modes of material nature, but they're still contaminated. This is clearly explained in the prayers of the demigods to Krishna when he was in the womb of Devaki. That yena vrindaksha vimuktamanina strayasta bhava avishuddha buddhaya arunya kritrena param padam tatah padantyato anarita yushmanam. The demigod said that some persons, by performing severe austerities, they become purified and thus they are able to ascend to the spiritual platform. But because they're not actually purified, because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet, which is the actual, that is actual purification. Anything else is only superficial purification. Then as a result, they must fall down again to gross material existence. So it's only superficial purification. The heart has not been purified of the envy of Krishna. So they may superficially be free from material attachment, but it must come again, because they're not actually free from the contamination of wanting to exist separately from Krishna.
When a devotee who's practicing devotional service, he's doing it somewhat externally, but still he's not, he's feeling like he really doesn't like this. He's feeling an impersonal feeling, like I'm really not enjoying my devotional service, so I really don't want to serve him. I don't really like serving devotees. So at the end of his life, he did the service, he was chanting the drums, but he was still end up
well, if we don't want to serve Krishna, we won't go through our life serving Him. We'll go away. So I don't see how this applies. Oh, yeah, then, yeah, may do. Vivek Mukti. Mukti dadati kahichit nasma bhakti yogam. As stated in Bhagavatam, Krishna very easily gives mukti, but not bhakti. But then if there's no bhakti, you won't get, if there's not even a trace of bhakti, you won't even get mukti. But